Today we finish a series of messages that I've been talking for a while about the natural man and the spiritual man. And today we finish our series on that, the spiritual man and the spiritual man that's functioning carnally. And one of the primary verses out of the book of Romans that I took this from is 7, 22 through 24. There's a number of Romans passages that'll pop up on the screen here. Just by way of review, remember that there are really two divine and distinct creations. There's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. Natural mans are represented in Bible stories, in Adam and in Ishmael. And then the spiritual men are represented in Jesus and Isaac. But you will be in one of those two divine and distinct creations. And all of us started out like this, a natural man, unregenerated in the flesh and walking after the flesh. And the important thing about this is where God is. God is outside that person's life, and the spiritual part of them is ruled and reigned by the spirit of sin and death. Their mind is darkened, their will is enslaved, their emotions are twisted, and their body does evil stuff. It does the works of the flesh. And then you are introduced to the spiritual man who is functioning spiritually, regenerated in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit. And one of the important things about that diagram was that the natural man is now crucified. And you see him up there in the upper right-hand corner of that who we used to be died. And what happened when God came into our spirit is the Holy Spirit actually began to reside within us, and we have a new spirit rather than the spirit of death and sin. Now we have the spirit of life within us. And when we're functioning in this way of functioning spiritually and we're walking after God's spirit, then our mind is being renewed all the time. And our will is choosing the truth, and our emotions are reflecting that. They're under control, and our body is being presented to God as a living sacrifice in Romans, like in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, we still have a problem of sin residing in our body, which is one of the issues we're going to talk about today. We still will have the world and the devil trying to influence us from the outside. But in this person, they aren't controlled by that. So there's two things that you really need to know. What's my position? Am I still a natural man, or am I a spiritual man? You are a natural man until you respond to God's love and grace and accept the Savior in a personal way and become born again, become saved, as many people say. But you need to know where you are, because your position makes a whole bunch of difference. You know, when I'm in Illinois, it's a lot different than when I'm in Phoenix. I'm in a different position. So I need to know where I am all the time. And the second thing that you need to know is, how am I functioning? Am I walking after God's Spirit, which is what God would have for me, or am I choosing to walk after my flesh? And when we look at the spiritual man functioning carnally, he's one of the guys that walks after the flesh. So what is it that makes me spiritual? What I believe is true is the Holy Spirit of God living within me. That's what makes me spiritual. Not my behavior. I can be a spiritual person, but not be behaving spiritually. I can act like I'm a natural person, even though I'm not. But it doesn't change the fact that I am spiritual. So here's the ideal. This is the way that I want to live my life on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. A spiritual person that's functioning spiritually, that's regenerated, walking in the Spirit after the Spirit. But unfortunately, sometimes I live like the diagram that's on the back of yours. I am a spiritual person, but I function carnally. I am regenerated. I am in God's Spirit, but I'm walking after my flesh. And the positional truths of that diagram are still the same. The old me is still crucified, still gone. God's Spirit is still within me. But my soul is not functioning in response to God's Spirit. I'm functioning in a response to the world and the devil. When you look at those lines that I drew in that diagram, they're much bigger and darker and broader. And the power of sin that is broken feels like it engrafted back together. And my body ends up doing unrighteous things, even though I'm still a spiritual person. And how can that be? How can my mind be carnal and my will respond to sin and my emotions being indulged? How can that be? I mean, am I weird and unique that I struggle with that? I ran a movie last night, and Clarence and I were the only two guys here, and there's a lot of women here, and I'm getting a little flack that I need to start picking some chick flicks. These boxing movies like I had last night where the guy wins the championship belt and he's all bloody, and the girls are saying, can't we have something that it's just a little more, yeah. And I guess if the guys aren't going to come, I might as well do girl movies. But I pick guy movies because all the time I live in this warfare. I live in this constant battle to function the way God really designed me to function. I live in that all the time, that I tend periodically to function this way, and it bothers me when I do it. When you look at Romans chapter 7, here's Paul writing, and he says, "So I discovered this truth. Evil is present in me. Whenever I want to do God's standards and say is good, what God says is good, I take pleasure in God's standards in my inner being. But, however, I see a different standard that works throughout my body. It's at war with the standards that my mind sets. And it tries to take me captive to sin standards, which still exist throughout my body. What a miserable person that I am." So, Paul, writing the book of Romans, which we all just read together, he struggled with the same thing that I do. I can, in my head, see all these lofty and wonderful things that God wants to do in my life and through my life. But in my body, I have this constant struggle with the world and the flesh. And it bothers me that it's that bad. Now, why I underline mindset in that is because that seems to be the key. As you read Anderson's book, Victory Over the Darkness, he spends a lot of time developing the thought that how we think will powerfully affect what we believe and how we live. So it seems to be that the mind has a lot to do with it. Now here comes the hero who will rescue me from my dying body. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ who rescues me. So when Paul's saying that, he's saying this, that I am in Christ Jesus. I am saved. I am rescued by God. He knows his position. He's got his positional truth down. But this then is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind. But with the flesh, that's my selfish desires, it tries to make me serve the law of sin. He had the same battle that you and I have. And arguably, this is the only disciple that Jesus discipled after his resurrection. As near as I can tell, it's the only one that Jesus came back personally and discipled was Paul. There's a dozen guys, 11 of them made it or so, that he discipled before he died. But Paul, he has a direct discipleship with God, and he's still bothered by this. So it's something that you and I will battle with. This is a cute little picture that I found in my desk drawer and scanned in for you. And you really have this opportunity. You got to go one way or another. There isn't a three-way choice. You either walk after God's Spirit or you walk after the flesh. And I put this one as a driving thing. You either drive after the Spirit or you drive after the flesh, but you're always going to go one of the two. Now, in the spiritual man functioning spiritually, we had Romans 8:2, and that says this, the Holy Spirit will give you life that comes from Christ Jesus and will set you free from sin and death. That's the scripture that we put in the center of the spiritual man functioning spiritually. The confident thing is God will do that. But it's not a once-for-all deal. It's a continual choice within our will. We think the truth with our mind. We choose it with our will, and that it impacts and affects the way that we live. But he will get it done. We will get it done. But it's not a done deal. It's an active deal that we're dealing with. Now, in the spiritual part of a man who's functioning carnally, Romans 8, 9, Paul says, however, you're not of the flesh, but under the control of the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives within you. So what we're saying here is that flesh does not control your spirit. Your spirit is completely godly. And what we need to do is begin to think the truth and believe the truth, choose the truth, and our lives will affect it. When a spiritual man's soul part is functioning carnally, this is what I see happening. We have a soul and it consists of our mind, and our mind is thinking carnally. Our will is responding to sin, and our emotions are being indulged. I just worked the Carroll County Fair and the Whiteside County Fair and fundraisers for Victorious Christian Living. And when I was there, the big thing when I was a kid was to go to the carnival. I'd work all day baling hay and go to the carnival and spend it all at the carnival. And all the bright lights and the rides and everything, I mean, they were extremely impressive to me. What I noticed this year is a lot of the kids are kind of, with the carnival. You know, it's no really big deal. And I was scratching my bald head and trying to figure that all out. And Jules says, well, Wilmer, these kids have been to Six Flags. These kids have been to Great America. Who in the heck wants to go to a honky-tonk little county fair after you've been to Six Flags? You know? And I thought, maybe that's why there's not so many people coming. But carnival and carnal is the same thing. It's the bright lights. It's the excitement. That sort of mindset is where we get carnal. And we look to those things for fun, for entertainment. And that causes us then to respond to sin. So here's Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set your minds on the flesh will lead to death, but to set your mind on the Spirit will lead to life and peace. Now, on your bulletin, I put a couple blanks there, and I forgot to notice or tell you that because mine blew off of the handrail. But what I'd like you to note is the mindset. What Paul is writing here and what he's writing in Corinthians that you and I are reading together right now is the same thing, that when you set your mind on the things of the flesh, it leads you to death. But if you set your minds, if you think on the things of the Spirit, it'll lead you to life. So it seems really clear to me that an important component of this is where I set my mind. So in the spiritual man functioning spiritually, you see that he's directing his thoughts and choices and emotions internally towards the Spirit. He's focused on God within him, which, remember, is the minor point. 28 verses talk about me being saved, and 775 verses talk about the Lord being around me and saving me. It is true that he is within me. And I find it less distracting if I look at that internally, but there's much more of God going around me than inside me. But looking internally seems to be the truth. You set your mind on the spiritual things. You make choices based on God's will. You respond to what the Father wants. And your emotions live at peace. I had several people ask me if I was ready to go teach in Phoenix. I said, no. I'll probably never be ready, but I'm at peace with it. Am I confident? No, I have no idea how I'm supposed to do that. It's like being your pastor. I don't understand how to do this. I just, day by day, moment by moment, pray and follow the Spirit. But as far as understanding, I think this is the right way, that you focus that internally. Now, this spiritual man functioning carnally, what he does is he looks outside. His mind is looking at the world. His emotions are looking at that, and his will is focused outwardly. He's looking at what his body's doing more than what the Spirit's doing. He's looking at what's going on around him in the world more than what's going on within him. And that seems to be the problem. I have this cool picture of something out in space that somebody sent me on an email. It's the eye of God. Now, I tried to put it on there, but it didn't really work. But when Julie and I were younger and in our marriage, we went to a church where the pastor would continually talk about his mind's eye. He had his mind's eye, and I always thought, what? Is that some sort of a cyclopsy thing, you know, that's on in there? But I realize now that what my mind is choosing to look at, what my mind is choosing to think about, the pictures that go on in my head, that those are important parts to me walking spiritually or carnally. So, how are your thoughts and emotions influenced by the devil and the world? How does that happen? Do you notice stuff out there in the world that you think that's what you want or think that's the way you want to be? How does it work for you? This seems to be true in my mind. If I think about it long enough, I'll find a way and a time to do it. Even if it's something I shouldn't do, if I spend enough time thinking about it, I'll eventually figure out a way and a time to get it done. How many of you know what that's like? How many of you ever had friends or maybe in your life you've gotten into a wrong relationship, you've had some type of an affair, and you think about that a whole lot of time before you ever do it. And actually, think about it, it's a lot more fun than doing it. But if you think on something long enough, I think you'll find out a way to get it done, even if it's something unrighteous. We see people all the time in the Christian realm who get tagged for doing something terrible, but they thought they'd get away with it. They didn't think they'd get caught. You know, they thought about it long enough, they found a way to do it. So how do you handle temptation? You're going to get tempted, aren't you? I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil is gonna tempt you. How do you handle it? Do you hang on to it and look at it and play with it and fiddle with it and think about it? And what I encourage you to do is handle it very quickly and get rid of it. You're gonna be constantly barraged with temptations of the world. But don't continue to look at it. Don't continue to do that. I was at a funeral just a couple weeks ago, one of the godly men that Lord put in my life when he was discipling me, and he and I were working construction, and I was driving a construction truck to the lumber yard one summer day, and we were going down the road, and there was this really cute, shapely girl riding a 10-speed bicycle. And basically, she just had her butt stuck up there in the air, and I was watching her as I drove up by, and then I looked back to see what she looked like from the other side, and the guy sitting next to me says, "Well, you went over the line, Bubba." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, there's no way you can't notice it that way. But when you take the second look, you've crossed the line. You're handling temptation." And I said, "You know, you're right. I mean, you got to keep an eye on a bicycle rider because they're unstable, right? Especially if they ride motorcycles. Look out for those guys. We appreciate it. But you don't have to do the second and the third look, and you don't have to think about it later, is what I came to understand. There's no way that you can walk through the checkout aisle without seeing what Jessica Simpson looks like these days or some other movie star. It's going to be plastered all over the sleazy books that are there in the checkout aisle. I can't help but notice what's going on. It's boring in the checkout aisle. I go to the automatic ones now so you don't have to wait. But you don't have to buy the magazine and take it home and read it three or four times. You know what I mean? Handle temptation quickly and get rid of it. Are you led into temptation by your thoughts? Do you realize that most of marketing and sales is your thoughts? When Uncle Donnie's selling these sewer equipment machines, he gets people to think about it before they ever spend the big bucks to buy it. When you watch television and you look at that Long John Silver's, that's not a good one. What are some of the food ones, Jules, that always make me? Red Lobster. Red Lobster has a great, that's the one I was thinking of. every time I see that commercial, I can sit and I can say, Julie, I'm really not hungry, but I want to go eat that. You know? I think that. So what happens when we're in the city and we're looking for a place to eat? Hey, there's a Red Lobster. I think I want to go there. Right? And then after I'm done, I think, man, that was high-priced and didn't taste nearly as good as what it looked like on TV. But it's the same thing. It's the thoughts that lead us into temptation. There will be a trigger. You'll either hear something or see something. But just don't handle it. Don't play with it. Let it go. Don't dwell on it. In Romans 8, 7 and 8, this is why the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Why is it hostile? For it refuses to submit to the authority of God's law because it is powerless to do so. Indeed, those who are under control of the flesh cannot please God. So the one word that I want you to write down on your outline is submit. I want you to learn to submit to God's sovereignty. The 770 verses of lordship, opposed to the 28 verses of Savior, God wants us to come to the place where we see Jesus as our Lord, and we're totally submitted to Him. When Marty led us in all those songs, I give you all that I have. I give you this. I give you that. See, that's submitting to His authority. So, what if I don't submit? Does that mean I've lost the Holy Spirit? If I don't submit to God's authority, does that mean I've lost it? No. No, I'm still a spiritual man, even if I'm not submitting to God's authority. Now, what I need to do is quickly learn to submit. If I'm not pleasing God, does that mean I'm not His child? Am I not His child because I'm not doing what's pleasing to Him? Think about your childhood. Did you always please your parents? I don't see anybody nodding a radical yes. Oh, yeah, there's one. The man is deceived, Lord Jesus. You know? As hard as we try to be good kids, we don't always please our parents. Why? Because we get tempted and we walk after the flesh and the world and we get into trouble. But it doesn't mean we're not their kids anymore. Right? So you don't lose your childhood. Christians can be carnal by their behavior, but they could never be carnal by their nature. My nature is changed. My eternal purpose is changed in this life and in the next. Now, I may mess up and act carnally, but I'm still a spiritual man. Now, Oswald Chambers said, and Jules and I were talking about this the other day, I've never seen a free will. The will of man is either yielded to obey sin or it's yielded to obedience to God. That's those two roads. What you think in your mind, you will eventually make a choice with your will, and your will either yield to sin in the world and the flesh, or it will yield to God in obedience. And I keep challenging you to yield to God. In Romans 6:16, surely you know that when you surrender yourselves as slaves, you obey someone. You are, in fact, slaves to that master. You obey either to sin, which will result in death, or in obedience, which will result in being put right with God. But thanks be to God, for though at one time you were slaves to sin, you have obeyed with all your heart the truths found in the teachings you're receiving from me. Now, I put that in blue, but it doesn't show up as good on the screen as it does on the computer. Because really what I want you to do is respond to these things that I'm teaching you. Not for my sake. Good heavens, it makes no difference. It's for Christ's sake that I'm asking you to respond to these things that I'm explaining to you. And this is Romans 12:1. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Actually, I beg you to offer as a living sacrifice to God your body, dedicated to His service, pleasing to Him. That's the true act of worship that you should offer. People say all the time, what does God want? What's God's will? That's God's will. That you'd think on the Spirit, that you'd choose, and that you'd offer your body as a living sacrifice to Him. That's His will. That's what He wants. He wants you totally dependent and surrendered to Him. In Romans 6, I put a couple of colors in here. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting your members of body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourself to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments to God's of righteousness. So that's a choice. You don't have to, if you're born again, if you're redeemed, if you've responded to God's grace and you're saved, you don't have to sin anymore. You let it. You let it do that in you. And I think it's because you're looking at the wrong stuff and you're thinking on the wrong stuff. So just start thinking on the spiritual things inside. So what happened to sin's power? Romans 6:14. For the power of sin will not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin's power is broken. You don't have to respond to it. Will the devil and the world still entice my body? Sure. Absolutely. Until the day you die. Even though sin's power is broken in me, God knows it, the devil and his helpers know it, but if I am deceived or don't know it, I can act as though it's not true in me. That's when I'm walking after the flesh. And Romans 8, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with it. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So condemned is the word that I want you to write down. Sin is condemned in your body. God's going to kill it. When he kills your body, when your body dies, it dies. When you get a new body in heaven, it doesn't have the same challenges. But life on earth is a test. You're learning here how to live. Here's the conclusion. Have you responded to God's love and become a spiritual man or woman? That's the most important thing you need to understand today is your position. Have you responded to God's love and His grace and become born again? Secondly, which of those diagrams accurately describe your walk with God today? Which one of them, walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh? Will you respond to God's grace and set your mind on His Spirit? Will you respond to God's mercy and present your body? What I'm asking you to do is respond to the awesome work that God has done. Not to do it in your own strength, but to more and more every day look internally to what the Spirit is doing within your life and resist the devil and the sin that's out there and present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. To choose to do His will. But I think it's all based on God's mercy, God's grace, and God's love. It's not based on you and I and how well we're doing. If we stop looking at ourselves and look more at Him, I think we'll live better lives.